And a good morning to all of you in Kansas City here from 96.5 The Fan. This is a show we call Fesco and Dusty, or we can call it F&D. I think that sounds weird, but maybe your friend would like that name.
Got told yesterday we need a new catchier name for the show, and I said, okay, thank
so, you. So 913-586-7965, if you have an idea of what you would name this show.
not that we're changing it. it's a good one.
The mouth and the vet.
Oh, my goodness, yes. A wild day yesterday. People have all sorts of ideas, Dusty, and they feel the need to share them all the
time. Face up, Dust Man. Feel I better be called it Bink in the Morning. You're not even on the show.
Well, doesn't Wednesdays.
There's juice all over the place.
We get Binkley on any time. I asked you this morning, what time does Binkley set his alarm for in the morning? You think so? You think he's getting up at 5:58 to get ready for the day of listening to a 96.5 The Fan?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good for him, man. I hope everybody else has their alarm set at 5:58.
Put a meter in that guy's phone.
Oh, yeah. He was out in the wild this weekend out of Kauffman Stadium. Big series, and Jay was out there. I saw some pictures of him.
Yeah, his buddy who works for, I believe, an Odyssey station in Buffalo was in town doing a show because he covers the Mets.
Mm.
And I think he left a little note in the studio that says, Bills fan was here, something like that.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, Binkley said, this true story, Binkley said the guy and him go on each other's shows during football season.
Right.
And they make a bet every year, and Beakley's like, yeah, I'm undefeated because he takes the Bills in the playoffs. And I was like, there you go. And I guess their bet last year was he would always say, Jay Binkley from our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan.
Right.
And Binkley be like, yeah, the Bills losing the playoffs again, you got to call me your daddy station. And so now he's got to say Jay Binkley with our daddy station. Because yes. only Bink would come up with that. I was like, you didn't want to bet wings, beers. He's like, yeah, we've done all that before. I'm running out of ideas.
Yeah. There's only so much you can bet. A block of cheese maybe or something like that, Jay. Yeah. But you called me the daddy station.
I told
station.
Him next Good year one. They need to bet that the loser has to do what that old dude does in the stadium where they squirt mustard and ketchup in his face and he holds two hot dogs
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that seems like a Bink thing he'd be okay doing.
Yeah.
He's got glasses, so he gets to cover his eyes.
Well, you probably wear some, goggles or something 100%. If you wanted to. And
I've never
apron.
Had mustard in the eyeball, but I would understand that I would kind of feel like that wouldn't feel great.
Yeah,
nothing
burns.
Feels good in your eye.
No.
Even eye drops. You're like, holy cow, those Rotos.
Right.
Yes, if you know. I thought about doing our cameras the way they did it at Home Run Derby last night, where like every time somebody talks, we just change the camera to that person.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that. That was the worst televised sporting event I've ever watched. And that was only for 4 minutes. Once Pat McAfee got done kind of introducing everybody and they took the field, if you will, and they're showing replays now on MLB Network. That was vertigo in a nutshell, man. Did anybody survive that thing last night? I actually had to switch over to ESPN2 about 10 minutes into this thing.
Wow, you lasted long.
I usually do.
It's not even Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. I'm good at what I do, Dusty.
I just want to win, Jen.
And I'm like, what is going on here on ESPN? And it was like all over the place with a split screen. I swear to God, I was on a boat in the middle of the ocean. I was ready to throw up. And I'm like, I got to get out of this thing. I almost had to turn the whole thing off. And then I went over to ESPN2, and it was much more calm of a broadcast. You know, it was loaded with the stats and whatnot, and that was fine for me last night. But God bless America with the damn, showing of that Home Run Derby last night on ESPN. I'm surprised they stuck with it as long as they did, because it sure seemed like a lot of people were complaining about whatever was going on, and it felt like the two screens weren't even synced up, like they were showing home runs that were prior to the one that was currently being hit.
The only problem that they have is it's kind of like a lost cause because of the way they do it now, because it's just rapid fire.
Yeah.
Like, it used to just be a time slot, and then you had to wait until the ball landed until you could hit again, and then people complained about that, and they changed the rule to where it's, all right, you get, 40 pitches or 3 minutes?
Yep.
And so it's just rapid fire and, nonstop. But I'm, watching the other side of it, because I lasted until they zoomed in on a baseball just rolling around in left field. I was like, okay, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
Switched over to ESPN2, a much better product. The only problem was you couldn't really get the perception of how far those balls were flying.
Yeah, that's it. You're exactly right about that.
So, you could see the launch angle, and as soon as they hit it, you're like, that's a homer. That's a homer. Like, when Raleigh in that semifinal got on that groove or hit, 5 or 6 in a row,
right.
It was just like, missile after missile after missile, and you're like, okay, those are home runs. But then you would see the distance, and you're like, oh, that went 488. It looked like it barely got over the wall. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't really get the, you know, the depth perception, but it was a much easier watch on ESPN.
No doubt. It was much calmer is the word that I will use. I didn't feel like I was, you know, chasing my lunch all over the place trying to figure out what the hell was going on. But, you know, rapid fire or anything like that, like all
what
of
the
that,
hell was that?
All of that stuff that they did yesterday didn't make the Home Run Derby any quicker than it normally was, though. That's the thing.
It was still over, what, 9:15?
No. It was over. Yeah, at 10 o'clock.
It took
longer than a normal baseball game to watch that thing last night.
And they showed Livy done way too much.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Is Tony Dungy complaining about that?
No, I'm just making a joke. They showed her for like 8 seconds.
That was it. One time they showed her. I would have showed her after every O'Neill Cruz home run, especially after that 500-foot home run that he hit yesterday.
But
that was unbelievable. But also, like they had the opportunity to kind of speed it up, and they really didn't speed it up, you know, all that much. I just don't know how you can take a home run derby and truly make it that interesting, because, you know, 3 minutes is a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
It is extremely long time.
Three minutes is a long time if you're doing it right.
That's exactly right. These guys are gassed. These guys mm-hmm. are spent, you know, when it's all said and done. And so they just continue to roll out the home run derby. And it is what it is. I mean, if you like it, great, fine. It was fun for a little bit for me. And then you get to the point of you're like, all right, let's try to find a way to speed this along, make it a little more entertaining. And they've tried everything they possibly can. Dudes are robbing home runs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so it was what it was. It was cool to see Cal Raleigh win, because I think that's kind of who everybody wanted to see win yesterday, right? Like, he was kind of the favorite going into this thing.
No, and I mean, I think the conversation is, you know, kind of what everybody saw last night. I still thought it was great. The favorite won, mm-hmm. which is fine. I think that sometimes being told what's going to happen, we don't like that. But sometimes we're like, well, let's see if that does happen. Because, you know, I think the Kentucky Derby is a lot better when a long shot wins,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
You're always more excited to see a name that, like, here comes Tite Sphincter around the corner, and he's going to beat Preakness or whatever it is, and the horse that wins. And then it's, you know, Cal Raleigh last night was the favorite. He's got the 38 home runs mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. And then he went out there and put on a show, right? And the nickname, the Big Dumper, and then, you know,
his father threw at him.
And his brother caught.
Yeah, and his brother caught, which...
And then, you know, the video surfaces of him as like a little child. Yep. Looks like a little Nikolai Jokic, and he's like, he's like, I'm the Home Run Derby champ. And like, it's pouring rain in a suburb, and then all of a sudden he's got, you know, 7 trophies after winning Home Run Derby last night.
Yeah.
Title belt given by Cody Rhodes, a home run championship chain bling, and then the trophy.
Right.
I mean, give me all the trophies, I guess.
But I will say Major League Baseball did a really nice job of integrating people that matter to the masses out there. I know probably for a lot of the seam heads out there, you're thinking, why is Pat McAfee part of this broadcast? And, you know, why are we doing a championship belt and all that stuff and whatnot? That's what you need to do if you're baseball. I think baseball has done so many good things, you know, with the All-Star game, and we'll talk about them as we kind of move along this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But having, you know, Pat McAfee part of that yesterday not only exposes all of us, you know, to Pat McAfee, but it exposes Pat McAfee to baseball. And I think that was really important, because that wasn't a moment about getting America to watch because Pat McAfee was there. I think that was a moment for baseball to expose Pat McAfee to the game. So now he talks more about it on his show, and he forms relationships with some of these players and has a good time. And he's talking about baseball. He's one of the most important voices in sports right now, whether you like Pat McAfee or not. He's arguably one of the top 3 or 4 most important voices on a national level in sports, and Major League Baseball is like, come be part of us. We don't want to be part of you at this point in time. We want you to be part of us. We want you to form bonds with these players. We want you to enjoy the game. And now you know what Pat McAfee is going to do all day today on his show? Instead of talking NFL when the rest of the ESPN is breaking down training camps, he's going to be talking about the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game and the experience that he had. And by him doing that, he gets his message out now to all of his fans. I thought it was a big win for Major League Baseball last night to have Pat McAfee part of that thing and then have all the championship belts. Guys like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he had a whole all-star cast yesterday on his show talking to, you know, Shohei Ohtani, talking to Kershaw. I think Judge was on his show. All these guys, insiders on his show as well. And also, I think Pat gets the bill. He knows what it is. Make it about the moment and put the moment, then all that sort of stuff. But no, I mean, look, I thought the top 3 highlights for me last night, the 513-foot piss missile from O'Neill Cruz. I mean, that's insane. Plus, you know, it starts off with James Wood didn't make it past first round, unfortunately. Of course, I bet him he doesn't do anything. But he did hit one out of the stadium. That was crazy to see. That kind of gave me the Trumbo vibes back when it was in KC when he put on top of the All-Star or Hall of Fame building.
Now, whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know, but he had a tanker in All-Star game in Kansas City.
That's right, Mark Trumbo.
And then the kid robs the home run.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
I don't know if he's a kid or not, but robbing the home run, they still count it as a home run. He's out there in left field. Gets the stage, gets the moment, takes advantage of it, does exactly what he wanted to do. They gave him the home run, and I thought that was funny. And then also, what I love more about the home run derby in itself is not necessarily the action and the rapid fire of the bombs getting hit, because I love it. I'll watch the All-Star game inning for inning, pitch for pitch tonight. I promise you that. And I think the thing that I love the best is watching these guys that do this every single day and are the best in their game. And then a guy like O'Neill Cruz hits a home run 513 feet. And you see guys like Paul Skeens, and you see people like Bobby Witt Jr. and veterans, even like Ken Griffey Jr.'s, and their jaws just drop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we are the same right now.
Right.
And you are a professional major league athlete, and you have the same exact reaction that this guy and Lee Summon, who's a fat ass that does radio every day, and we have the same, you have the same reaction as these people. It's relatable.
Yeah.
When you watch this, because I can only imagine what the home run derby was like in person in Kansas City. I wasn't fortunate enough to be there, but all my friends that went were like, it was nuts, dude. Like, and that's why I tell people, if you can ever get the opportunity to go watch these guys hit batting practice, doesn't sound like it's fun. You're at the ballpark for a long time, but you watch them hit balls and tank shots that you're like, dear Lord. And then of course I'm sitting there last night going, it's going to be cool next year when Caglione's in this thing. Yeah. 480-foot bombs.
But that 513-foot home run, man, that was impressive. Anything with a five in front of it, man, is going to make people's jaw drop. And I really thought the best moment of the day was now two home run derbies, two people who pissed Kansas City off, and they did absolutely nothing in the home run derby.
Yeah, Jazz choking was also awesome.
Jazz, I mean, three home
I mean, I got two words for you.
Chaz Chisholm is going to... Chisholm is going to start in center field.
It's a shame that right field tech ain't there, isn't it, Jazz?
Yeah, too bad for you. But bad, I mean, you know, we had the booing of Cano here. Yes. You know, we had the Jazz Chisholm do stuff. Man, don't mess with Kansas City fans. You start messing with us, you're going to stink up the joint when the home run derby comes around. And people were kind of joking yesterday. They hope Chaz Chisholm had only you know, zero home runs, and he ultimately had three.
Chaz Chisholm.
Yeah, three home runs for Chaz.
Chaz Chisholm is
rent free.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm just so glad that he just. I'm so glad he didn't.
And then how about Rooker? And what was it? Rooker and who was the other guy that was it? Him and Raleigh that were tied, and it was like by one like tenth of a foot or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got the nod because of like we have 437.6 versus 437.5. Like, what are the odds two people hit a ball the exact same distance like that? That's crazy that they had that, and it was all measured out and everything to the, you know, the umpteenth degree. So that was kind of cool as well. So I guess they did a fair enough job last night. I just wish there was a way to speed it up, man. And we think about this every year. Maybe we just don't need eight people in the home run derby. Maybe you reduce it to six and make it smaller instead of trying to have eight. Because at the end of the day, do we really need eight people out there hitting the ball out of the ballpark? Probably not. Maybe if we reduce it to six, it moves along pretty good. But I think we saw some cool things last night, and that's what it's ultimately about. And I just love the way that Major League Baseball has decided we're going to market ourselves the way that we need to market ourselves to get to the people. And being with Pat McAfee and the WWE and all that kind of stuff that they've been able to do over the last few weeks and whatnot with their marketing side of things has been great. I love the fact that they're thinking outside of baseball with this.
It's the first time in my life I've ever heard a man say reduce it from eight to six.
What do you want next, my friend?
It is a Tuesday.
I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I want my wife next. It's going to be a lot of ground and pounding. Grinding and pounding. She know what it is. Find out.
That's right. They know what it is. A lot of ground and pound coming a week from today in St. Joe for the Chiefs. We lock into the AFC divisions. Plus, we'll get to You Pick One as well on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
I've been pounded this week.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Into it on a Tuesday. We'll get to Bob's Tuesday threesome. We'll get to an announcement that we will give you at 8 o'clock on this show today. It's going to be kind of fun. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, football related.
Mm-hmm.
As football does start a week from today in Camp
Kegs and Hell, eggs and football. Let's go.
That's mm-hmm. right, baby. Mm-hmm. You tell them. And a week from today, you can feel the heat coming.
So while we were looking at the forecast before the show, and I'm like, Dusty, it's going to be like 110 humidity tomorrow.
That's right. It's going to be hot.
That screams St. Joe. Those offensive linemen are going to love St. Joe, aren't they? Oh, my God. It's going to be nasty up there.
Mm-hmm. All the smells. But tonight, all-star game for baseball. And then we'll – which, by the way, I know I'm a sick freak. Because I'm going to grill out hot dogs and, oh yeah, dude, hot dogs, Polishes, and I'm going to make nachos, baby. Yeah, dude.
I'm looking at, we have a thing tonight for the Olathe East cheerleading squad at Tiki Taco, so we'll be over nice. There tonight. Yes, yeah, a big fundraiser for the Olathe East
cool.
cheerleading squad, so if you're looking for Taco Tuesday, Tiki Taco, go over there, spend some money, support the kids in the cheerleading.
Have you
cheerleading.
Had Tiki Taco before?
I have not, no. Good. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Very what good. Should I get then?
I mean, I always just get like chicken or beef.
Okay.
And then just simplistic.
It's yeah. easy, simple. Do they have yeah. fish tacos?
Well, at Twisted Fresh, yeah. I think is where I got those at. Yeah. yeah, that I got like the whatever, the mahi-mahi
yeah,
tacos.
Those are money,
those are
man.
Disgusting. Good.
Yeah.
Because you get three of them. And then when you're done with all three of them, you have like a little taco salad in the bottom of your, you know, whatever, yeah. where it's juicy.
Yep.
Juice all over
or
the place.
You can order just the extra taco the and get the fourth taco
That's
added
also
on.
A smart way
yes.
to do it. I'm trying to think what the last time. It's been about a year and a half since I've been there, but let's see here. Tiki Taco, real yeah. quick. People love it. Tacos and burritos.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I went to, because there's one in downtown OP, right?
I don't know. That's
I believe that's where the one I went.
Question.
Is that,
I don't
know. The one I went to?
I would assume we're going somewhere out in Olathe.
Yeah. I think I went to the one, I think there's one in downtown OP over there by like the Maloney area.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Because I got the
yeah, there is one downtown Overland Park.
Yeah,
yeah yep.
The avocado taco, the grilled shrimp taco, and then I've had the surf and turf burrito. It's
okay,
got, like, shrimp and
oh,
steak
that sounds
and
good.
Curly
yeah.
fries.
Ooh,
in it.
Curly fries
what?
In the burrito.
Heck
it's one
yeah.
thing to stuff it with fries, but then to go to curly fries, I kind of like that. Okay,
yeah, surf and turf burrito, carne asada, fried shrimp, curly fries, cheese. Queso fresca, sour cream, Baja sauce, tomato, and basil tortilla.
That sounds really good.
It was solid,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I'm looking at the tacos. They've got a grilled shrimp taco, a Korean beef taco, a mushroom taco, a street taco, sweet chili shrimp taco. Okay,
wow.
I'll be doing yeah. fine over there at Tiki Taco
hit
today.
Hit the garage before you go. I'll have one of everything.
Give me the menu!
Be like Del Taco all over again.
Hell yeah. But that was not garage related. That yeah. was strictly sober at 11 in the morning.
I believe
I told that story. My old boss took me to Del Taco in Arizona. He ordered the whole menu and then looked at me and said, "What do you want?" I said, "I figured I would share. I guess not. I'll take a taco."
And for my meal.
Yeah.
So football season in full force. We'll see if Trey Smith signs today before 3 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock Eastern. But training camp will start around the league, I think, for some.
There's not a lot of buzz around the Trey Smith thing again, as we talked about yesterday.
Ooh.
But, like, not even from the national people discussing whether or not he's going to sign.
Yeah, because we saw some reports that there should be an announcement today. Let's be honest. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does. And then there's, I don't know, nothing to talk about until they start actually playing football. Other than what kind of throws we see to Xavier Worthy, how good Rashee Rice looks, what rookie really stands out. Jaden Hicks has max pants to his ankles.
I know that I'm hard.
Better believe it. And so we'll start off today. Yesterday we did the AFC West. We did some odds. You guys tell me if you agree or disagree with any of these division winners that I'm going to pick in the AFC. These are my preseason AFC division winner picks. I'm going to go with Buffalo in the East. Really starting off on a whim here.
Well, I don't think I'm not ready to pick anybody else
okay.
yet in that division, right?
Yeah.
Or like I want to say New England's going to be good, but I still got to see it in action. We still have a young quarterback we haven't seen enough of. the Dolphins are dissipating faster than the snow. And you've got the Jets, who I don't even know who their quarterback is at this point in time. You know what I'm saying, though. Okay, but like, so I'm not ready.
Fields, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not ready to pick anybody. It's Justin Fields. He had a 3.7 GPA and an ERA of 5.
And an over 1,000 rushing yards 2 years ago.
Yes, he did.
He just needs a chance.
Yeah.
And I can't even a better place years. Than Jets.
The Jets. Yes. Man, I just need a chance to get my career back on track. Where should I go? The Jets. That screams, give me a chance. No pressure, right? So what I'm getting at is I'm with you. I'm not ready to pick anybody else yet besides Buffalo to win that division. And if they fall down, then they got to fire Sean McDermott and hire Nick Saban to be their next head coach, because I heard he's coming back to coaching now.
Yeah.
Well, he might be a collegiate.
Why would you want to do that if you're Nick Saban? You leave Alabama and then coach somewhere else collegiately on this landscape?
Go rival.
You think you go Auburn?
Why wouldn't he go to Duke? And then you can have the Carolina Duke rivalry in football with Belichick versus Saban.
Oh, maybe he'll get a 25-year-old. That would be. Yeah.
Showers are no longer than 5 minutes. This is not a spa.
I do like that, actually.
Let's
that would be
spice
pretty good.
Up the world. Let's bring basketball to football.
Yeah,
let's
Duke bring North Carolina and Saban.
Let's bring Tobacco Road.
That would be awesome.
See, this is what I like about NIL. Nothing's off the board.
Give me Tobacco Road walks and have Pat McAfee on College Game Day between Belichick and Saban, and they're both walking down Tobacco Road to College Game Day. Put that on a sticker and sell it.
You'd watch that. Yeah. Everybody would watch that, right?
At the finish line will be Jordan. She'll pick which one finishes first.
Do you think Saban does come back, though, to coaching at one point or another? Early 70s or mid-70s at this point in time.
Age, yeah.
We'll see. I feel like that will come up later on in our show. I go to the next division that I think I can guess will win, and that's the Chiefs in the West. I don't think there's really any conversation other than maybe, is this the Chargers year? But I'm not ready to do that either. You're not ready to do that with Buffalo in the East.
Right. No, it's still the Chiefs. As long as, you know, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are here in Kansas City, I'm not picking against the Chiefs. Okay.
Let's go to where we get a little saucy here.
Yeah.
So my two surprises in the AFC. I've got Cincinnati one in the North. Why not? Why do the Chiefs get to be the only one that goes scorched earth?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins? Why can't the bad guys fight? Sometimes the dark side wins. Go look at Star Wars, the second movie, right? Or Episode 5. And I think that offense is really good. Can Baltimore keep hanging on? Is Pittsburgh going to do what they think they plan on doing by making all those moves and Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey? You don't make moves like that unless you're not going for something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we see in football, the teams that make the most moves in the offseason tend to flop on their face.
Usually the winners in March are not the winners in October,
November,
December.
We saw Tennessee do it. We saw Jacksonville do it. We've seen teams do it all the time. So I think maybe this year, why not have Cincinnati at the top? Can they compete with Baltimore? We'll see. Joe Burrow, top 5 quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase, top 3 wide receiver. T. Higgins, top 15 wide receiver. Chase Brown, their running back, surprise little year last year. I think Trey Hendrickson will eventually come around and play for that team as well.
Anybody else playing defense for them?
Yeah, exactly.
But again, I have Cincinnati as my team this year to win the North.
It's an interesting pick. I'm going to stick with one of the guys that have been there, and I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division.
Wow.
Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin's got me thinking of
Who saw this plot twist coming?
Let's go.
Now Bob's all in.
Let's do this. I'm a huge Mike Tomlin fan. I want Mike Tomlin to see the successes of all of this. I root for Mike Tomlin, you know, not as much, obviously, as I root for Andy Reid, but I root for Mike Tomlin like it's nobody's business. And I think he's a good coach. People in Pittsburgh don't think he's a good coach. He does have a proven quarterback. We'll see, you know, what attitude, you know, this guy takes, Aaron Rodgers. But I saw something from him the other day that made me go, all right, he wants to end it the right way, he said. So maybe he's going to behave. Maybe he's going to act like a normal human being. What the hell? I don't want Baltimore to win that division. I'll take Pittsburgh. Got the Browns, Mac?
What Bob didn't tell you when he went to North Dakota is that he tried ayahuasca on top of George Washington's head in South Dakota on Mount Rushmore.
That's right.
Man, I'm shocked that you chose the Steelers. And I'm honestly shocked you chose the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think it's
there we go. I like this.
The second best roster in the
NFL.
Shows
you how fun this division is.
Yeah, it is. My rebuttal to the Bengals, I think the Steelers, just roster-wise, they're not even close. The Bengals, they went scorched earth last year. They won 8 games. And Ja'Marr Chase was the Triple Crown.
Yeah, it's
true. Joe Burrow threw for the most yards. Like, he went score. He was the best season he had.
I just don't think they're adult enough to win. I just don't think there's enough adults in the room in Cincinnati to win. I think they let other things factor in. And if they don't let the ancillary factor in, they beat the Chiefs last year. But Ja'Marr Chase,
yeah.
You know.
And they don't have to play those Chiefs this year.
They do not. That is true.
They have the softer side of the schedule in the AFC North.
That's what happens when you finish in last.
Well, Browns, but yeah. Let's go to the South. Here you go, boys. Here's my bold take. Okay. You got to make these takes.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're boring. Tennessee. Here's why. They're not being talked about.
Nobody in that division.
We have now seen back-to-back years where a rookie quarterback drafted high has made it and played it and survived in the NFL. CJ Stroud did it. Jaden Daniels did it. Why can't Cam Ward do it? Also, you look at Houston. I'm very confused with Houston because you have a future. What are the Chiefs doing right now with Patrick Mahomes? Trying to find a damn left tackle to protect their franchise's arm and the guy that touched the ball every play.
Mm-hmm.
What did Houston do this offseason?
They got rid of their left tackle.
Yep.
And now their franchise quarterback, who's already down a wide receiver. I don't know if their running game is going to hold up again this year. And now you have a new left tackle. Laremy Tunsil was your guy. Now he's going and blocking for Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not blocking for C.J. Stroud. Everybody, last year, C.J. Stroud, sophomore slump. Okay, how do we get past that? We get rid of your left tackle. I think Houston takes a dip. I don't believe in Liam Cohen and the Jags. I definitely don't believe in Daniel Jones and the Colts. Why can't it be a rookie quarterback in Tennessee where they got nothing to prove and a whole lot of room to make up for in a really, really crappy division? And my take of the year, am I taking the AFC this year? And I'll save these if you want to put them at the top. These are my preseason picks: Buffalo, Chiefs, Cincy, and yes, Tennessee in the South.
See, I would like to go with somebody other than Houston. I just don't like anything that the AFC South has to offer. It's like you go to a restaurant and there's like one halfway decent menu item on there and the rest really stink. And you're like, fine, it's something that I'm fine with. I don't really want this, but everything else just looks terrible, right? And that's kind of where I am with Houston right now. I'm not in love with Houston. I do think they have the best coach-quarterback combination in the division. I think they have the best quarterback in the division. I think they have the best head coach in the division. They're not a very interesting team. It's not a very interesting division. But the other three teams, man, I you know, they're not moving the needle for me. That Liam Cohen and Jacksonville thing, off to a bad start. The Indianapolis thing, you're battling between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones to be your starting quarterback. I mean, you got nobody as your starting quarterback. And Tennessee, I'm just not ready to buy into Callahan as their head coach right now. And so we'll see how that quarterback position plays out. I think that's going to be really interesting to see if Levi's is able to keep that job as the star quarterback in there or if they put Cam Ward in. But I think there's just too many questions in Tennessee from that quarterback standpoint right now. So because of everybody else being really, really bad and up in the air, I'm defaulting and going to Houston in the South.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Tennessee's a fun pick because I think they've got some like legitimate football players there. I know it didn't work out last season with the money they spent, but like Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, they've got some guys in the defensive end. Legarius Sneed says he's healthy. Like, they've got some legitimate football players, so I don't hate it. I don't think they're going to start Levi's. I think they're talking him up to hopefully try and sell him. Yeah.
But you need a backup.
I think I'm going to go with the Jaguars, even though I think Hunter's a bust. If he can get, you know, 750, 800 yards, I love Brian Thomas Jr.
That's not a bust.
Again, if he's a wide receiver too and they drafted him second overall, that is a bust.
Okay.
To me, if he's a wide receiver too and they draft him second overall, that's a bust. But either way, if he's, you know, a solid wide receiver too, I love Brian Thomas Jr. And I'm still not out on Lawrence. So I'm going to go with the Jags. I think it's the division to take a flyer, though. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's the only division in the NFL right now to kind of take a flyer. ETN
fumbles on the goal line, and yes, the season's
told
over.
Told you that, right? I said that.
You did.
Called it.
That was a good take.
It was done. At week one, ETN. It was over. So, you know, it's amazing how one play can derail a whole season. But you saw that coming from a mile away with Jacksonville last year. Like, they were just holding on. And one thing that went the wrong way, and boom, the dude fumbles the football. It was over.
We move on to Mac's favorite award of the NFL season, which is the comeback player of the award. It's really kind of contradictory when it comes to this award, but the top two favorites at the odds I put on there are Dak Prescott and Aiden Hutchinson. Who do you think? Do you think Dak gets it in Cowboys uniform, or do you think they give to Aiden Hutchinson, who blew his Achilles tendon, I think, or ACL? And like week four of the season where he was just shredding away already, the powerful defensive end out of the University of Michigan, playing in the Detroit Lions system.
I know. I have the same reaction.
Because you know what they're going to do. If Dak breathes this year, of he's course. The Cowboys' quarterback. He's going to get mm-hmm. comeback player of
easily.
The year. You know? And that's why I have the sigh and the disgusted look. And like, because we know what's going to happen here, right? I hope Aiden Hutchinson comes back and wrecks the world. And then they have no choice but to give it to Aiden Hutchinson. So I'm going to go with Aiden Hutchinson. I just don't think. I think Dak Prescott's a myth.
I think Dak's really good, and I think the Pickens-CeeDee Lamb combo, if they can keep their heads on straight, it's actually going to be really fun. So I'll go Dak, but I agree. Aiden Hutchinson's going to have a great season this year, but it's going to take, like you said, Bob, it's going to take him to have a historical year because they're just going to hand it to Dak Prescott.
And I'm going to get Mac really pissed off here because there's four names here I'm going to mention that are on here worth noting. After Dak and Aiden Hutchinson, it's Christian McCaffrey. After McCaffrey is Trevor Lawrence.
Oh.
So if you really like the Jags,
okay.
you could parlay.
I don't hate that.
Division winner, comeback player of the year. Here's the fifth best odds at comeback player of the year. J.J. McCarthy.
What?
Oh, my.
What?
At plus 850. Never
played
a snap.
Played.
And then your sixth best odds plays for the Kansas City Chiefs Awards, number four, Rashee Rice at plus 1,200.
That's fine. I'll take that.
Let's
plus
go.
Yeah, I'll take Rashee Rice is comeback player of the year. I'll take that. What if he goes over 1,000 yards and has 10 touchdowns?
If, win.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But how is he not your comeback player of the year? But
again, Dak's going to throw for 42.
Yeah, right.
Throw for 30 touchdowns.
Exactly. Go 8-9 and losing the first round of the playoffs. And here we go. And Jerry Jones says, I don't see how this happens all the time. You don't have to assemble a roster, old man.
We'll do this next one rapid fire. I'll just throw it up between you two. I get to stay. I get to stay mum in this. I'm going to give you. You pick one.
All right. Not a you pick two.
Nope.
Darn.
I like
that's
those.
That's on Fridays. Brian Thomas Jr. Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers. I saw Jackson Dart throw a dart yesterday, knock a dude off
jet
a jet ski.
With that I did see that. That was awesome. That was awesome. I'll go BTJ.
Okay. We go Jahmyr Gibbs or Ashton Jeanty?
Jahmyr Gibbs because he's been in the league. Ashton Jeanty's a rookie, so give me the veteran guy at this point in time.
Gibbs, but I'm really sports horny for Jeanty.
On DraftKings, you can pick Ashton Jeanty to lead the NFL in rushing at plus 1,800.
Ooh.
They may do that out there. Yeah, they may be careful.
We go to the dominant white dudes from last year, Brock Bowers or Ladd McConkey?
Pass.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah, I'm out on those two guys. Neither. They I'll both go. Stink. But give me Brock Bowers.
Okay. Yeah, same. I'll go Bowers.
We move on to quarterbacks in their second year sophomore slump avoiding Daniels or Knicks.
I'm going to take Daniels in this one.
He avoids the slump.
I think both have a slump. I'll go Knicks because he has a defense to back him up.
Okay.
We go to the LSU boys. Get the gat, get the gat, get the gat. Who's the better receiver? Pick one, Chase or Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
I like Jefferson a lot.
Coming off a triple crown season where you're going to need a lot of offense, going to get a lot of targets.
I was just reading some stuff about him over the last week or so, and it was like made me like him even more. So I'm in on Jefferson.
He's going to get J.J. McCarthy, that comeback player of the year.
J.J.
Chiefs D, Broncos D.
Chiefs D.
Chiefs D.
You bias.
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, I'm taking Steve Spagnuolo over everybody. Yeah.
We move on to AFC North quarterbacks. You take Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
Oh. And then we go on to new coaches, Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel. He's not new. Yeah, Vrabel.
Yeah. Yeah, he isn't new. Yeah,
but I love Benny.
But if he put another like newbie in there, I would have passed on that and said neither.
Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen, Bob.
What is the media going to do when the Bears start 2-4 and Ben Johnson isn't coaching like everybody thinks he's going to coach, right? How are the Schragers of the world going to react to the Golden Boy not getting the job done in Chicago?
What am I going to do?
How New England hasn't came up with the marketing plea of Mike Vrabel putting the new in New England.
Oh, I do like that. That is
good.
That is a good one right there.
You're welcome. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, we get into the hot corner, which is a tough Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
My job if I didn't give you more information on what we ended the conversation with. This came from Kevin Seifert of ESPN.
Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison's jury trial stemming from his 2024 DUI citation remains set for today in Superior Court of California. Addison has pleaded not guilty. Adam Schefter quote tweeted and said, if convicted, Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison could be facing a baseline 3-game suspension per NFL policy. So up those Justin Jefferson numbers.
There you go.
J.J. McCarthy comeback player of the year.
At least the first three games, right? Yeah. How is J.J. McCarthy up for comeback player of the year?
Dude, when he was hurt last year.
I mean, he's a rookie. So, like, if a rookie, you know, poops in the woods and the tree falls, do we hear it? Like, it's like one of those things. Like, he's never played in the NFL. He missed the first year because he was injured. You're not coming back from anything.
Now you know why Mac respects this award.
Yeah,
so frustrating.
Who won it last year? Did DeMar Hamlin win it last year, or was that 2 years ago?
Didn't Joey B win it last year?
Yeah, oh, Burrow. Yes, that's yes. Right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, right. Because he had the wrist injury, but played in 8 games.
That's yeah,
right.
It's basically the MVP award for the quarterback that was
injured last season.
Yeah, it's all it is now.
Yeah, right. Yep. What if there is no quarterback injured though? The prior exactly. Season. Who are we going to give this award to? That's why, like with Dak Prescott, like all these awards in the NFL, and just a total sidebar. We just got to get away from stop giving them all to quarterbacks on the offensive side. Just because you're a quarterback does not mean you are the MVP of the league that year. It doesn't have to go to a quarterback, and that's where I think a lot of people kind of get like tired of these awards in the postseason. That it's just a rotation of the four quarterbacks, right? All right, like you guys have legitimately said on the air, and I probably have too. Mm-hmm. Whose turn is it this year to get the MVP award? Is it Josh Allen's turn? Is it Joe Burrow's turn? Is it Mahomes' turn? Is it Lamar's turn? I think the rotation comes back. It's probably Patrick's turn again now, you know, to win the MVP award. And then next year it'll be Burrow, then it'll be Lamar, then it'll be Josh, then we'll be back to Patrick, and we'll just kind of go in that circle of life when it comes to who wins the MVP in the National Football League, because that's the way it's been over the last decade or so.
Can you name the last non-quarterback to win comeback player of the year?
The comeback player of the year? Ooh. Ooh, gosh. I'm going to guess, I'm going to say...
If you want a clue, I'll give you one.
Adrian Peterson?
Negative. The last time a non-quarterback won it was in 2017.
Okay, so not long ago.
So not McCaffrey. It's two. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Le'Veon Bell?
It was Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, you never would have guessed
that. There was a run for about 4 years where it wasn't a quarterback award. So 24 was Burrow, 23 was Flacco, 22 was Geno Smith, 21 was Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Two-time.
Two-time comeback player of the year award.
Two-time.
Do you put that on the bio when you're done?
2020 was Alex Smith. 2019 was Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
2018 was Andrew Luck. 2017 was Keenan Allen, followed by Jordy Nelson, Eric Berry, Rob Gronkowski. And nice. then it was quarterbacks.
Yeah, but see, those are all dudes that were coming on. Like Eric Berry beat cancer.
Like that, yes.
Like
exactly.
He should be comeback player
easily.
Of the year. There's no debating that Eric Berry beat cancer and he should have been comeback player of the year. And that's why you have to look outside. Like all of this stuff in the NFL, I know it's a quarterback league, but not everything has to be the quarterback, right? Not everything has to be given to them. There are 51 other players or 52 other players on the roster that kind of make up these teams. I mean, you know, if Rashee Rice goes out there and goes scorched earth this year, let's say he has 1,100 yards and double-digit touchdowns, right? Let's just put those numbers up there. Dak Prescott's going to still beat him out for comeback player of the year because he's Dallas's the quarterback, but he shouldn't beat him out because coming back off a knee injury like that is very hard to do. That's why who else is coming back off of a knee injury this year?
Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg.
Broke his leg, right?
And Dak, what was it? It was his calf?
I think it was the calf.
What was it? Somebody said it looked like grilled barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
Shredded, like they really cook it and then they shake it and they just...
Oh, God. I mean,
we all visualize
what that looks Sorry. Like. Oh, that's awful. But I think with, you know, coming back off an ACL, that is the hardest injury for athletes to come back from.
That or Achilles.
Because their mind's not ready to say, I trust my knee or I trust my Achilles. You know, we talk to anybody who's blown out their knee. They all say the same thing. It's not the next year. It's the year prior. So this may not be a quote-unquote great year, if you will, for Rashee Rice as he's still trying to figure out whether or not he can test that knee. Coming back from a broken leg or a calf injury is a lot easier mentally for these guys than it is coming back from the ACL. Everybody I've ever talked to with an ACL says it's not until the following season that you come back where you fully trust it and you're fully right there in your mind.
Well, I heard Rashee Rice is game day ready. We've yet to see him get No, it is a hot corner on a Tuesday. I can lead things off with one that I think we will all love to hear about. Jazz Chisholm, or Jazz, whatever that guy called him, and whatever that broadcast was.
man, sure is tough when you don't have that short right field porch in right field. Sure is tough when you get put into the situation again and again and again.
Chaz Chisholm.
Yep. And last night, lowest numbered total. What did he hit? Three home runs.
Three. three.
One of them barely clears. Three. Looked completely out of place. Definitely didn't deserve. We could have just been like, nah, we're just not going to fill that spot. If it's Jazz Chisholm or it's nobody, we'll go with nobody. Dude's a clown. Get off my TV screen. Stay out of my city. Know your role and shut your mouth. And nice job in the Home Run Derby last night. Tough Tuesday for you because the whole world got to see it, not just New York.
But that's the thing. That's why we don't need eight guys in the Home Run Derby. You know, Jazz Chisholm up there doing nothing.
Chaz Chisholm.
So you've got that going for you, which is nice, Chaz, to go out there and hit those three home runs. He never should have been in the Home Run Derby. Eliminate eight players in the Home Run Derby. Cut it back to six and let's move forward. You're next on the list, Mac.
Yeah, I mean, with that recent news of Jordan Addison, I'll go J.J. McCarthy. Tough Tuesday. You just lost your wide receiver number two, and you're favored for comeback player of the year, buddy. You've got a lot of pressure.
Not favored. He's just in the top five.
He's top five.
I don't know that you lost this guy a potential three-game suspension. I mean, you still have 14 games to go out there and play with him, you know. He's going to have all that practice. So J.J. McCarthy is your guy today, huh?
Yep.
I'm going with Mark Cuban because over the weekend, I guess it was, Mark Cuban talked about Olympics and whether or not guys would be playing in the Olympics. And he was like, I don't know if I want my players playing in the Olympics. We're footing the bill. They're getting hurt. 21 and under should be the limit for the Olympics. And I'm like, he is completely out of touch on this one. And yesterday, PCA talked about playing for Team USA.
I mean, that's just some of the most, like, meaningful baseball that I'd ever played. And, yeah, I love what USA Baseball does. They run a great program. I'd take whatever role they asked of me. I would go do whatever they asked of me. And I'd go follow everybody else's lead, like I said. That'd be an honor. And I would go run everything down for... Yeah, I would love to.
So there's PCA. That's a player talking about playing for Team USA. The big dumper joined Team USA yesterday. Ooh. If Mark Cuban's going to portray himself as this hip guy, this is something an old person does, Mark. And I hate to break that news to you. You're kind of trending into the old person category. But this sounds like a get off my lawn type of thing. This is management who Mark Cuban doesn't want to be, you know, normal management and all that. You're speaking just like management is in a situation. These athletes want to play for their country more than they want to play for their current team, and you've got to allow them the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, you're missing the boat on this one. I think this is a big swing and miss by Mark Cuban, and I hope this isn't the first instance of him becoming an old man.
Yeah, I didn't know Pete Crow Armstrong had an earring. I didn't know he was pierced out in the ears. That was a surprise last night. I watched his interview on MLB Network. By the way, your Jordan Addison Vikings, your first three games for your Vikings at the Bears, September 8th at 7:15.
Ooh, okay.
So that's Monday Night Football.
That's fun.
Right? Vikings, and they're at home against the Falcons in week two.
Okay, not
and
terrible.
And then home against the Bengals in week three.
Okay, not easy, not extremely difficult.
Hard to say right now about the Atlanta Falcons, and what they're going to be. I think they're going to be okay. I think they have a good opportunity to challenge for that division. I still think it's Tampa's division, you know, down there. And then who did you say the third one was? Cincinnati. It's early in September. Cincinnati blows chunks in September. So you have an opportunity to knock them off. I mean, Cincinnati is like 4-28. Under their head coach in the month of September. It's something spectacularly
really bad.
Yeah. Go look at it. It's like 4-16 or something like that, that Joe Burrow and the Nebraska guy are together in the month of September. They are awful in September. That's why they don't make the playoffs all the time. They fail early. You can't win the division or can't win a playoff spot early, but you sure as hell can pee one away. And that's what the Bengals seemingly do.
7-14-1
in September.
Yes.
7-14-1.
Terrible.
Yeah.
They're 0-3 last year.
That's why I think Zach Taylor's leash is very tight in Cincinnati this year, especially in the first month of the season.
Should be.
Some people get it. We'll explain what that means. Plus, we'll get into one word as well here on 96.5 The Fan a little bit later on today. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.